Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. Marcos has got your back. He is East Tennessee's premier DUI defense, criminal defense, and personal injury lawyer. A 4.9 rating on Google, over 580 reviews. That's pretty damn good for a lawyer. GarzaLaw.com, 865-540-8300. You can get in touch with someone 24/7, 365, the Garza Law Firm. On today's episode, we talk a lot of football. A lot of football here. A little baseball, and then we answer some questions. And then we talk about the Oklahoma City bombing for a long time. Seth's got that conspiracy brain going with it. Let's get to the episode.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass. He can't do math. He's an idiot. He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 on extra point when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch. It is Wednesday, May 15th. Seth, hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Nothing to complain about. Trying to squeeze this in before hopefully I go play in a kickball championship, although it's been raining so much in Knoxville that I don't know if we'll get to play. It's already been delayed by like a month.
It's been raining a lot.
It's rained every Tuesday and Wednesday here, or at least like five of the last seven, it feels like, but got to get the season over. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the baseball team, or do you want to start with Nico at night under the lights in Charlotte?
We can start with Nico.
Nico! Our Tennessee tribal chief. First big game just got announced earlier today. Will be at 7:30 on ABC. Nico in front of a nation. Feels big time.
I'm so excited to watch him play quarterback.
It feels big time. I find myself getting angry when the national people that write about college football don't give him his proper respect.
Oh, they're not giving the team as a whole the proper respect. Which, I mean, we're definitely underrated going into the season, I think, which is good. I mean, we're going to have a top five defensive line in the country, a top 10 offensive line, maybe even better than that, with Hurd out there.
You think the offensive line is going to be that good?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, if the offensive line is going to be...
It hinges on Cooper staying healthy.
Sure, but if the offensive line is going to be top 10, then hell, we might win a national championship this year.
I saw...
Or at least play for a national championship.
What did On3 have it as the seventh overall unit in the country, I think?
Okay, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean,
ooh, yeah, okay.
I think the offensive line's going to be real, real good. I mean, they have a real guy at left tackle. They got one of the best centers in the country. Spraggins is really good, you know, a really good college player. Yeah, I think they're going to be real, real good. So they have a seventh-year senior at right tackle? I mean, and John Campbell, like, they got to figure out left guard, but, you know.
I mean, that's the one position. That's the position on the offensive line that, I mean, I guess right guard maybe is less important. But, I mean, the guards you can always get by without a good one. Like, you want tackles, you want a center.
You can find guards.
You want tackles and you want a center.
Yeah. So I think they're going to be really, really good. We're definitely underrated. I mean, I saw what our win total was, 9.5, right? Same as Missouri and Ole Miss. I'm saying it now. Tennessee is going to be better than Ole Miss. Right. Tennessee is going to be better than Ole Miss. Missouri must have an easy schedule.
Well, so does Ole Miss. So, like, I think Tennessee could be better than both of those teams.
Okay.
And come out with a better resume. Like, there might be a scenario where a 9-3 Tennessee is ranked ahead of 10-2 Ole Miss or 10-2 Missouri. I don't think that happens, but I don't think that's impossible if Tennessee beats an Alabama and loses to, like, NC State. The third loss is going to be bad. Like, if you lose to Georgia and Oklahoma, like, that third loss is going to be bad if you beat Alabama. But maybe you beat maybe you lose Alabama, you lose to Georgia, you lose to Oklahoma, but beat everyone else down, including a good NC State team. I don't know. Maybe you lose NC State and beat Oklahoma on the road. That's probably a more likely scenario.
You think so?
Well, no, I mean a more likely scenario in terms of being ranked higher at I think you're ranked higher at 9-3 if you lose to NC State, but win at Oklahoma.
Are we overlooking North Carolina State?
I mean, I think we are, just in the sense of it feels like Pittsburgh in 2022.
Yeah.
Where we're just focused on the SEC, but like going to Pittsburgh is going to be a tough game, and it's one that's going to be a dogfight. And I hope you don't end up in overtime, but like I think you beat them. But yeah, no, they're a top 20 team, and it's a neutral site, and it's Nico's first real start, and I think we're better than them. But like that, they're probably just as good as Oklahoma on a neutral site.
Okay.
That's how I view them. I mean, maybe that's dumb, but like they're both, to me, I think if we were playing at a neutral site against Oklahoma, we'd be favored by like 3. And then a neutral site, we're favored by 5 against North Carolina State. So I don't think the difference is that big. But there's a chance you can lose to them and still have a good season if you do win on the road against Oklahoma, and if Kentucky's any good and all that. But I just want to say, like, both Missouri and Ole Miss do have super easy schedules. I don't know if you've looked at them, but like both are set up to go 10-2 at worst.
As of May 15th, I think we beat Oklahoma.
I think so too. I mean, their young quarterback's gonna be making his first big start, and he looked a lot shittier in the bowl game than Nico did, for sure.
I think we beat them.
How important is that game for the season, scale of 1 to 100?
You don't want to overreact, but it seems like it's really important, right? Because I think you beat North Carolina State. I mean, you're favored by 5.5, and if you could get past Oklahoma, then what? You're 6-0 when Alabama comes.
I think that's how it works. Yeah, I mean, I haven't counted the games, but that sounds right.
I think you beat North Carolina State, so I would say like 85, because I think if you beat Oklahoma, you're in the playoff just about.
So where do you rank Oklahoma in terms of most important games for the season for Tennessee? Second?
Yeah, probably.
Like Alabama's number one, right?
Alabama's one, Oklahoma's two. North Carolina State's three.
That feels right.
Or Florida.
I mean, as a fan base, we overrate the Florida game.
I was going to go with North Carolina State 3.
I mean, I think if people could, it depends on what we're talking about. Like, what's the biggest game in terms of like national recognition and resume? Yes, NC State. What's biggest to the fan base and like the tenor of the season? I'll say Florida, because if you lose to that Florida team, like that's,
yeah, I mean, yeah,
that's crippling. So I'll say Florida's bigger than NC State, but NC State's better, of course.
Okay, that's fair.
You can survive a loss to NC State. I don't think you can survive a loss to Florida.
If you lose to Florida, you're not very good.
Yeah, and you got Alabama coming 6 days later.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I just think that's crippling for the program.
Agree.
Don't get me wrong, though. NC State would demoralize the team too and demoralize the fan base because you'd be dreading that trip to Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's going to be a long drive to Norman if they lose to North Carolina State.
Are you going to Charlotte for the NC State game?
Yeah, I am. I bought my flight like in January or February.
Okay. I do not believe I will be there.
I shall be there for that and Oklahoma.
The plan is for me to go to Oklahoma, although I must admit with as much stuff as we're trying to do now at the station, including some potential weekend programming for me to have to kind of be committed to, I don't know if I'll be able to go to Oklahoma. I might have to kind of just hunker down in Knoxville all season. I'm not sure yet, but that is a possibility. So I haven't made any firm plans. I want to go to Oklahoma, but I don't know. I'm trying to build something big.
Yeah, that's the only good SEC road game to go to.
Yeah. It's the only one I would have any interest in going to. Yeah, like, I mean.
Yeah, I'm not driving to Northwest Arkansas.
No.
No, I'm not going to Fayetteville, so.
No.
I will be there. So, yeah, I'm very excited. I can't wait to watch Nico play, man. I just cannot wait to watch him play. I cannot wait to watch the defensive line.
How sexy is it going to be the first time Nico hits that fake quarterback draw, touchdown, pop pass?
It's going to be sexy watching everyone get mad that the guy that wears Cookie Monster pajama pants is better than anybody on their team. With his long, dirty hair.
Just picture how mad everyone's going to be when the offense is back to just being wide open, wide receivers running down the field.
Fast, fun, and real again, yeah. I can't wait.
It's not fair. They don't have time. It's too fast. They're going too fast. They don't have time to communicate.
I cannot wait to watch. I mean, I think we will be 6-0 when we play Alabama. And that will be cool.
There's no way that's bigger than the 2022 game, is there, if we're 6-0?
No. Because it was Hendon Hooker versus Bryce Young. It was the reigning Heisman Trophy winner.
What if Nico looks like we think he may?
I don't know, because it's just, I guess it depends if Jalen Milroe looks good. I still don't even know if Jalen Milroe is good.
I don't think he's good. I think he's fine. I think there's a chance that like he doesn't leave the Tennessee game as Alabama's starter.
Every play is either, wow, this dude should win the Heisman, or how is this guy starting at quarterback for Alabama? They've been really weird about Ty Simpson this spring. They were really weird about Ty Simpson.
Well, also, didn't DeBoer bring in his boy from Washington, too? Like, the guy that he was really high on?
Yeah, he brought him with him after Julian Sayin decided to go to Ohio State.
I think there's a chance Alabama struggles out the gate and Tennessee kind of puts the death blow to him and you see Milroe get benched after that game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think if Nico looks as good as we think he does and if we're 6-0 with a win at Oklahoma after coming off of a big win at home against Florida, I don't know. I think there's a chance that game heading into it feels just as big, if not bigger, than 2022. Now, I don't think the celebration and the party afterwards could even come close. But keep in mind, heading into that game in 2022, we were still like 9-point underdogs.
Yeah. I guess it in the sense that if you're 6-0 and you beat Alabama, you're going to the playoff.
And you might be back to being, you know, top 2 or 3 in the country.
You're going to the playoff.
The college football playoff ranking comes out right around that time. It'll be the first time in, you know, 20 years that you feel equal to them coming in.
Yeah.
Or better than them coming in.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you didn't feel that way in 2022. You thought you had a chance. Like, you know, we weren't riding that game off. Everyone thought we could win, but there was still in the back of your mind, like, you didn't know.
Yeah, it was like, well, we have Hendon Hooker, and I felt like with Hendon Hooker, we could beat anybody. And I didn't think Bryce Young was healthy, but lo and behold, he was 100% healthy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the conversation all that week was that he wasn't going to play.
And he was absolutely incredible. So, yeah. I don't know. I guess the North Carolina State, 5.5 is I don't know. I just don't know what to think about North Carolina State. Like, yes, Grayson McCall is good. He's a good college quarterback, but is he that good without Jamie Chadwell?
Is he that good against, you know, James Pierce? Is he that good against, yeah, you know, SEC players? I mean, with all due respect to Jamie Chadwell and Grayson McCall, they weren't necessarily going up against good defenses.
And I've seen it a couple times, them talking about, well, they got Noah Rogers in the transfer portal. We don't know if he's any good. By the time the rankings ended, like, he didn't do anything last year at Ohio State. And I know it's extremely hard to, you know, that doesn't mean that he's not any good. But by the time the rankings ended, like, he wasn't on three, he was, but the others he had dropped. Like, we don't even know if he's any good. Like, he didn't do anything last year as a freshman. He might be awesome. Good for him if he is. But I don't see people talking about Chris Brazel the same way, who has performed. Or Squirrel White. I mean, it's just like, well, they got Noah Rogers in the transfer. We don't know if that's any good. We don't know if he's any good. Like, Carnell Tate played some as a true freshman at Ohio State. So he didn't have a single catch.
Yeah, I don't even know who the hell you're talking about.
Well, they keep talking about him. He was a 5-star wide receiver that was a true freshman last year. And he transferred. He's from Raleigh, so he transferred back home after 1 year. I've seen it a couple times, and it's just been kind of surprising because it's been like he didn't do anything. Like, Carnell Tate at least played, you know, like, I just don't know anything. And I know about North Carolina State is Grayson McCall, Noah Rogers transferred in, and then they lost their best player on defense. He graduated. Peyton Wilson, whose brother used to pitch for the Braves.
And that Dave Doran's going to want to beat our ass for what we did to him in 2018. He's probably got some feelings about that, or, you know, the end of 2017. He probably doesn't like Tennessee and Tennessee fans, so he's going to want to win that game. But, yeah, like, I mean, you look at the spread, 5.5. I think Tennessee wins by 10. 7-10. I think Tennessee covers that game.
It's amazing to me the 180 his reputation has done. 5 years ago, everyone, Dave Doran, was just like, oh, he's going to go 8-4. And now 5 years later, it's like, you know, he's a pretty good coach. He's always going to have North Carolina State competitive.
Like, some might go 8-4, but yeah, like, no, they're always going to be in that, like, hey, hope to get to 9 wins, maybe 10, maybe the third best team in the ACC any given year, or fourth best team in the ACC.
Like,
is that fair to say they're the top of the tier below Florida State and Clemson?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
I don't know what other program in the ACC is better than them right now. I mean, North Carolina State's better than North Carolina.
He's gone 3-9, 8-5, 7-6, 7-6, 9-4, 9-4, 4-8, 8-4, 9-3, 8-5, 9-4. A remarkable consistency.
Yeah, no, he's an 8-4 coach. Like, he might win that bowl game, he might lose the bowl game. I mean, that's pretty much what you could say. It's the way it averages out. I mean, he's Kevin Sumlin in red.
I just assume they don't have the horses we do.
I imagine not. And I don't know if being on primetime is going to change this at all. Maybe Grayson McCall's got a little bit more seasoned vet to him since he's been around longer, but it's going to be one of, if not the biggest game Grayson McCall's played. I mean, outside of, I guess, Coastal played what? They played BYU that
BYU
one year, I think.
And COVID year. When BYU drove like 48 hours before the game to Myrtle Beach.
I don't remember them having to drive. That's
because they needed a game because their game got canceled. They didn't have a game, so it was like the week of is, you know, we'll come and play. I just remember reading a story about the equipment guys having to drive 24 straight hours to get to Myrtle Beach. I'm gonna say now that Nico is going to be unfazed by the environment.
Coming out party, man. Coming out party. He might be he might got a little Jameis Winston in him.
He's a family man. You know, he's a family man. He's Polynesian. which means absolutely nothing in this context. But
he owes Grayson McCall an ass whipping for what they did to BYU.
That's right. That's
did
right.
They beat BYU. I don't even know. I don't remember if they won or lost.
They stopped Romney. They stopped Gunnar Romney on the 1 yard line.
Okay, I remember it being close, but I couldn't remember who won. He owes revenge for his BYU Mormon Polynesian brothers. He's got to get a win.
Yeah,
exact revenge.
I just Nico. He's not going to be fazed by the environment. One's up for Nico.
One's up.
He's going to be amazing.
It's going to be so good getting back to watching our offense and watching good quarterback play.
Yeah, it is.
I'm so happy that somehow we got the ABC game. This national TV, 7:30. It's such a good slot. It's a top 20 matchup. And it's a statement game.
I imagine that Duke's Mayo, does it have to be on ABC? I wonder if since it's one of those sponsored games, if it is. But I don't know what other games there are that weekend.
I have no clue what the contractual obligations are there. But either way, like putting it at 7:30 is a statement, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
You could almost look at it as the first, ABC SEC game. I don't know what happens in week one. I haven't checked there, but
I think they have. But
big one too, probably. Yeah. I would say you're right.
They released game times for a lot of games yesterday.
I haven't really bothered to look
for week one, but it wasn't Tennessee game, so I wasn't really paying attention. I'm very, very excited to watch this football team play. I think they're going to be a lot better on defense, mainly because of back-end players.
I read ESPN ranked our quarterback room this year as the 12th best in the country. I don't know. It's still a decent number, but it made me angry.
There won't be 12 better quarterbacks than Nico.
There better not be.
Like, there won't be.
Where does he need to rank to live up to the hype, in your opinion? Or to make you happy, to make you satisfied.
He needs to be a top five quarterback in the country by the time he's done.
No, I mean this year. Not when he's done, not next year, this year.
By the Alabama game, he needs to be one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the country. By Alabama game. Top
10, I think, is fair. I mean, I guess if you just read those names off right now, that's where I'd have trouble. I'd have trouble finding 10 people that I'm like, okay, I'm fine with him being better than Nico.
Are they factoring in the backups there? Because that's dumb if they are. Other than Texas.
Might be.
Texas number one.
They have I didn't see the actual quarterback rankings. They had Ohio State as the best offense for the next 3 years and Texas as the second best, but I didn't see the quarterback room rankings for them. I just saw Tennessee's.
I mean,
if you told me Nico wasn't better than Brady Cook this year, I'd be pretty disappointed.
Yeah.
If you told me he wasn't better than Matt Corral this year, I'd be not Matt Corral, but Jackson Dart, I'd be pretty disappointed.
I would be stunned.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's quarterback rankings that came out where he's behind Milroe. Like, I'd be pretty mad if he wasn't better than Milroe this year.
Agree.
I'll give Carson Beck the nod just because he's on a stacked offense with NFL players all around him, and I guess he's supposed to be a top five pick. I'm fine if he's not as good as Carson Beck. Maybe even Quinn Ewers for similar reasons. But, like, there's not really anybody else in the country I'd say I'll lock in being better than Nico and me being okay with it. Unless I'm missing somebody. Quick thoughts on the baseball team?
They just keep keeping on.
Yeah, I was disappointed with not getting the sweep on Sunday.
I was too. It's so much better to win the series and have the Sunday game be the rubber game, like have it be 1-1, because winning the first two and losing on Sunday just kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing we've been doing on most of these big series, right? Just take it 2 out of 3.
Yep.
But like, yeah, the vibe's so much higher after you do it to Kentucky because you won the Sunday game versus
8 straight series wins.
Yeah, every series except Alabama.
8 straight series wins, pretty remarkable. The offense was really good, I thought, the first two games.
Were they, or did they just have like a couple big innings?
I thought
Vandy's starting pitchers did pretty good against them.
They're both very good.
Yeah.
But they had traffic a lot. Like, it was not just – we would get one or two. Like, for me, it's more about, like, I would rather have eight runs and see the offense get it in little bitty chunks than have, like, one huge inning. Like, you know, you jumped on
them
early.
What we did to Florida, kind of, I thought, in game three. We got shut down for the rest of that game for the most part.
I did not feel like we did that at all over the weekend. Game one should have been 8-1 if the umpire doesn't screw over AJ Causey. It ended up being, 8-4 or whatever. We had to come back and win. But I thought we swung it really well the first two games, especially Moore and Burke. I mean, Burke went three. They both went 3-for-5. But Burke had the bases loaded laser that got caught at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could have been – that was close to being a grand slam. I thought we – Hunter Ensley, the end of the lineup, continued to get on base. Curley had a big hit. Hunter had some hits. Stark – had some hits, was getting on base. I thought the end of the lineup, outside of the DH position, which is the one just issue, I thought they swung it really well. They had 8 runs game one, 7 game two. I mean, yeah.
How was Nashville? You went to both of those first two games, right?
Yeah. So, okay, if you're sitting in the outfield, the restroom is in Memorial Gymnasium. You have to walk all the way to the basketball gym to the restroom. They do not have restrooms in the outfield.
Can you not walk towards, like, first base?
Well,
is it not connected?
I was just like, okay, well, I'm an outfield. There has to be bathrooms back here. So I just started walking towards the concession stands that they have. And I just kept walking. And finally, I ended up in Memorial. And I'm on the first floor. And I'm, like, looking around. And I can't see the restroom. And I asked the usher, I said, where's the restroom? She looked at me like I was an idiot. And she just pointed at the stairs. I'm like, I got to go up another flight of stairs to use the restroom. The air is out in the gymnasium, which, you know, nothing going on there. I'm like, at this point, like, I'm sweating. I finally use the restroom. I come back and I'm like, okay, well, I haven't eaten today. I need to eat. So I go to this. So they have some food trucks out there. They do not have a concession stand in the outfield. The concession stand for the outfield is, guess where it's at? It's in Memorial. they had pretzels and M&Ms and stuff. I think hot dogs. So I go to the food truck. I go to the brisket place. There's no brisket out. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm not getting brisket. I don't even like hot dogs, but it had the shortest line. So I get a hot dog. I'm in the hot dog line when Christian Moore hits his home run to lead off the game. And I finally get to order. And I said, yeah, I want whatever hot dog I got and the chips and a drink. And he says, oh, we don't have drinks. That part of the menu is a lie. I'm just like, y'all don't have water? Y'all don't have water. So then I had to go to another concession, another like little food truck thing to get a bottle of water. The next time I went to the concession stand, because all I wanted was a bag of damn peanuts. I'm at a baseball game. That's all I ever want. I do the same thing. When I walk into Neyland Stadium, I go straight to the concession stand. I get a large Diet Coke, a bottle of water, and a bag of peanuts. That's what I always get. When I'm at a sporting event, I just want to eat some peanuts. So I walk to the concessions that are for the people sitting behind home plate. I said, hey, where are the peanuts? She's like, oh, we're out of peanuts. The whole damn stadium's out of peanuts.
What about Cracker Jacks?
I don't know. I don't like Cracker Jacks. They're overrated. They're not any good. Cracker Jacks aren't any good.
No, it's just a song, you know?
Yeah. Oh. Other than that, it was a great time. Their stadium is tiny. It's like they picked out the smallest place on campus that they could actually feasibly put a baseball stadium and put it there. Because we hit multiple foul balls on Dudley Field. The memorial is right there. Like, it overlooks the left field wall. It's tiny. We had some fans getting into it. User Jordan off the Discord was asked to narc on a Tennessee fan that yelled at the right fielder, "Your mom's a hoe." And Jordan would not do it because he's a man of the people. Yeah, we had some people getting into it. You know, which is just so funny to me. It's like you're, I guess this is the one thing Vandy's had, so it probably does really rub them raw.
Yeah, it has to hurt. I hate that the winning streak is over.
I do too. You might have noticed this. They have the high left field wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's not straight. It is curved inward.
No, like, I didn't notice that.
That wall is not straight. The left field wall is not straight. It curves significantly inward. It is bizarre. It's bizarre. Vandy fans are just, they're weird.
Really wish we still had 10 in a row, but alas, we took the series.
And I really wanted to get some runs off that Vandy pitcher because he was annoying.
Yeah, that was tough to see. That was frustrating just because, he was letting us have it. And he really set the tone in the first inning. He started talking shit in the first inning when he struck out, Moore and Burke to start the game. He waved by at him. He set the tone. And I was hoping that would get us going, but nope. We were just pretty much lifeless at the plate outside of Dylan Drawling.
First time we've been shut out all season. I will say this about the baseball team. I think the best thing, what makes me feel the best about them right now is they've lost back-to-back games one time all season. They have lost back-to-back games one time all season long, which is really, really remarkable.
That was at Alabama, right? You won Friday and then lost.
Yep, that was at Alabama. So, we're going to get A.J. Russell back this weekend. The issue is still with me. You're not always going to be able to save Snead to go long on Sunday. And I really am curious, are they really in game one? That's not really game one. I don't mind Stamos pitching. I actually like him. I told Ned Friday night, it's funny that I feel so much better about Stamos pitching than I do Xander. I don't mind Stamos opening whatsoever. If you want to do that in game one of a super regional, I have no issue with that because Causey's more than likely going to go really long. And Stamos can get through the inning one time. He's done really good. He's done it really well.
Yeah, I almost just wonder if you even mess with that, though.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But it's just about, are we really going to throw Xander Seacrest in game three of a Super Bowl?
No, that was what I came out of the weekend. Like, the DH spot, we've talked about it. But the rest of the lineup is going to be good enough to, I think, pick that slack up. What I'm worried about is I have zero confidence in Xander.
What confuses me about the DH spot is that they don't need the DH to be a home run hitter. They don't need to be a slugger. They don't really even need him. They don't need him to hit doubles. What they need is, one of the things that's really nice about Cal Stark is that he is going to take the pitch if it's coming at him. He's willing to get hit by it, and he's going to walk because you have your best player batting leadoff. That's all you need a DH to do is get on base, and Cannon Peebles was inserted into the DH role and walked twice immediately.
It's funny to me that I just feel like I'm taken from my DH spot right now. My request is, don't strike out.
Don't strike out. Watch some
pitches.
Just
don't strike out. Yeah, put the ball in play. Draw some walks. Yeah, that to me, drawing a walk might as well be a home run. But yeah, don't strike out. Move runners over. Be able to come through. Because I think, on Sunday when you lost to Vandy, you had first and second, no outs twice, and you couldn't even move the runners over.
Yep.
Just move the runners over. Don't strike out.
Yeah.
And we don't even have a DH that can't strike out. And usually they're going to strike out on three swinging pitches back to back to back. That's kind of how it's gone.
It's Cal is in there for his defense, obviously. But, if the pitch is anywhere remotely near him, he's taking it. He's leaning into it and getting hit. That is just as good as a double because the guy behind him is Christian Moore. Cannon Peebles walked twice. It's just, he hit a home run Friday night. Those are three at-bats that are already more production from the DH spot than you've gotten the entire last month. Those three at-bats. Just put Peebles in there and let them stay.
All right, let's hit some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. Three new patrons to shout out. Shout out to the Moore brothers, Steven and Connor.
Shout out to the Moore brothers, Steven and Connor. We love you and appreciate you.
This is what I like. Connor came in. He joined the Discord. He said, wow, this is the best place to talk about Tennessee sports anywhere on the internet. let me go holler at my brother and get him in there. And then brother said, okay, I'm coming. And he signed up and came. It's beautiful. That's the way it's supposed to work. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Seth, don't tell your family. Keep them pure. Tell your friends and family, except for Seth, to join the cord. Patreon.com/ReezRanch. And new $20 patron, Ben Turner.
Shout out to Brother Ben. Is this MAGA Man, Dip Can, Vol Fan, Bud Hand? Is that who that is that joined the Discord? Is that Brother
Ben? Say that one more time. What's the name in there?
MAGA Man, Dip Can, Vol Fan, Bud Hand.
No, I think his name's just Ben.
Okay. I see this guy joined the Discord earlier today.
No, this guy's just named Ben.
But welcome, Brother Ben. We love you and appreciate you. Thank you for joining.
Oh, I haven't cleared MAGA Man, Dip Can, Vol Fan, Bud Hand. He didn't say his name when he came in. So I don't know. We got a little bit of a vetting process. We don't just let anybody in. You at least got to tell me what your name is on Patreon so I can keep up with it. You at least got to give me that. I'm not going to like out anybody if they want to stay anonymous, but like I got to have some idea of who the hell you are. I'm running an operation here. My name's attached to it. Hey, let's hit some questions right quick before I go win this kickball championship.
Brother Marwan, a.k.a. Wheezy, asks, more regular season wins this year, Titans or Vols?
Oof. It's never a good sign when the college team and the NFL team makes you go, that's a good question. Because, of course, the pro team is going to play about 5 more games. Got to go with the Vols here. Got to go with the Vols here because I think there's a very likely scenario that Tennessee, the Vols, win at least 9 games, which would kind of be the ceiling of what I think the Titans could do. And there's a chance the Vols win 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 games. So I think it's the Vols. I would probably make the Vols favored. Like, I think the Vols would be like minus 150 to win more games than the Titans. Probably even more than that, honestly. Probably minus 200 if you just go by Vegas lines.
How nice is it that the Vols, like, over-under win total now is, like, something respectable?
Yeah. You're not just hoping to make a bowl game.
It's so much better. Brother Chris Kilby? Would you rather use A.J. Russell as the Game 3 opener for Snead or as a late-inning put-out-the-fire guy?
See, this is a good question because, you know, I said that Xander makes me nervous. I also got to say, friend of the morning show, Fan Run Radio, 7 to 10 a.m. every day, Kirby. I still get really pit in my stomach when he comes out to pitch in high-leverage situations. So I think you need an arm late and you need an arm early. So... I guess I'll say early.
I think it would be really cool for A.J. Russell to come back and just be a human eraser for 2 innings at the start of a game.
Okay. Just get you through the lineup once.
Just like come in and throw like 2 2-1/3 innings and just be unhittable.
I don't know, man. It was nice knowing Chase Burns was at the end of he was the monster at the end of the story for most baseball teams last year. Knowing that if you couldn't get up on Tennessee early, that he was coming in to shut you down the last 4 or 5 innings.
Yeah, it would have been really cool if Marcus Phillips could have just thrown strikes because he would have been awesome to put in the 9th inning of games.
He had a chance, and then he completely shit the bed in your midweek loss.
Brother Brett asks, thoughts on the newest Lady Vols transfer? I saw her points per game total, and she looks pretty good.
12 points a game, I believe, is the number I saw, unless they got another transfer I'm unaware of. I'm a little worried that I thought we were going to be like a run-and-shoot team, like shoot a bunch of threes, and she's a 27% three-point shooter. But maybe she's just a good presser and a good defensive player, and I don't know.
This we're going to trust in Kim.
Yeah, Kim knows what she's doing.
This
she's
podcast
is
trusting Kim.
She's a champion.
She's not a lesbian. You know, she's not a member of the Lesbian Brigade, which absolutely sullied themselves. They sullied themselves. They had no respect left. But after, to be quite honest, the hero, which is weird to say about a journalist, Adam Sparks of Knoxville News Sentinel, wrote the story on the Lesbian Brigade, probably fearing for his life right now. He probably has to have like a police detail so those crazy people won't roll up in their on their Harleys and cut off denim and car bomb him about all the ugly emails Danny was sent about doing the right thing and letting go of Kelly Harper.
Honestly, we could have done a better job trying to make parodies of what they would have emailed to Danny White. They exceeded my expectations.
Yes, absolutely. They are what we said they are. These people, they don't want to win. They don't want to win. They want football to lose. That's all you need to know about these people. They want Nico to lose. And anybody that wants Nico to lose is an enemy. I'm a big believer in the friend-enemy distinction. They are enemies. They do not root for the University of Tennessee. They're probably not even rooting for Karen Weekly, who, by the way, just got the highest ever seed in the NCAA tournament for the Lady Vols. By the way, the softball team has hosted, they have been a top 16 seed 19 straight years.
I got that email from I guess, UT Sports trying to sell tickets, and that was a jaw-dropping stat.
They have the pitcher of the year. They got the coach of the year. The lesbian brigade, they have people that they could go behind. But Karen Weekly is a straight woman. Karen Weekly is happily married to Ralph, Carlin Pickens. She's too pretty to be a lesbian, so I'm just going to say she's not one. So, you know, they don't root for the softball team like I do, like we do. And they're 19th straight, top 16 seed. Well, we support Kim. Brother CB asked, you're going on a vacation, 4-hour flight, can only fly first class one way. Do you choose to use it on the way there or the way back?
Just want to point out that Candace Parker is very beautiful, and she found her way to that side.
Oh, she's a lesbian?
Yeah, it's not always just just off looks.
I thought she was married to Sheldon Williams.
Well, she was, but
it ended.
But it ended, and she, I guess, decided that Sheldon Williams drove her away from men to women. She has a white woman. They have a second baby together.
Anna Petrikova.
A what?
Anna Petrikova.
Oh, I thought you said Anna Petrikova. I was like, what the fuck is a Petrikova?
She is from Budapest.
I'm taking the first class flight to the destination.
Really?
I understand the way back sucks. I get that, but I want to take advantage, at least as far as I'm concerned, of the free drinks and food, and I want to enjoy that on the way to the vacation because I'm going to be feeling good and wanting to drink and have a good time. On the way back, I don't want to drink. I just want to get there. I want to fall asleep. Could I fall asleep more easily in first class? Sure. I would, of course, rather have first class both flights, but I'd rather use it to party to set the tone for the trip because I think the ride back's going to suck regardless. Maybe that's bad logic. I don't know, but that's how I feel.
I'm taking the way back.
For the opposite reasons or what? Just want to be comfortable?
Yeah, the times where I've really would have been nice, the flights back from Hawaii are just brutal. We've the last time we tried to do the red eye so we could get acclimated back to the time change, I didn't sleep a wink on it.
How long is that flight?
A long ass way. A long
8 hours?
Time. Yeah. And by the time I landed, I just felt horrible. I had been up almost 24 hours.
Now I think a family trip that long is different. Sure. I'd rather probably have it back to try to sleep off whatever, has gone on in that trip and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. I just want to take, when I'm going somewhere, I want to go to the lounge, eat, have some drinks, and then I want to ride that wave. When I go to Vegas, I don't do first class, but I'll do the Delta Comfort. They give you free drinks there too. And I just ride that the entire time.
So you get to the airport pretty early.
Well, typically what I do, Seth, is I fly out of Knoxville into Atlanta for a connector.
Okay. And so when you're in Atlanta, you go to the lounge.
Yeah. Then there'll be a layover. Sometimes I do go to Atlanta to fly out. And if I do that, I'll get there 2 hours early.
Okay.
Eat some food, enjoy the drinks. Got to put that $500 annual fee that they charge you with Amex that's gone up to $595. Got to put it to use.
Okay.
I put it to use in Detroit. I drank and ate about $500 worth of booze and food in Detroit. So I got no issue with that. By the way, Brother Logie sent me, and I actually didn't text him back because I just watched it today. He sent me an update on MH370. Have you? Are you aware of the aliens conspiracies, the UFOs?
Yeah. So I saw that tweet. I had come across that dude a couple of weeks ago, and I hadn't really watched much of it. The opinion seems pretty divided on him about whether or not this guy is full of it or not, but I haven't watched that tweet yet. I saw it posted last night. But to be honest, I am so far deep in the Oklahoma City bombing rabbit hole that the world may not exist in terms of other conspiracies.
So what's happened there? Give me the cliff notes.
Did you know that all 19 security cameras on the Murrah Federal Building were confiscated by the FBI and were not allowed in as evidence?
I did not know that. I don't know anything about the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah. So everyone,
except when Russell Westbrook got knocked out of the playoffs, am I right?
Everyone saw two people. Everyone saw two people. People in like Kansas wherever the Ryder truck was purchased. It was out of state, at the hotel where he was staying. In Oklahoma City, the Oklahoma City PD bomb squad was out that morning for some reason. Why were they out? Why were all the cameras taken down that would have shown McVay driving the Ryder truck? Because the crazy thing is, the federal government could not even place McVay at the scene of the crime because they disallowed their own evidence. With the evidence that the federal government allowed in the crime, as crazy as it is, they could not even place him at the scene of the crime the day of the bombing. It didn't matter. I mean, McVay was like, yeah, I did it. You know, they had he purchased the Ryder truck. He made the bomb with Terry Nichols. The people that had seen him with two people were basically bullied into submission by the FBI to not act as witnesses. The FBI just bullied American citizens into not testifying. So their side of the story that it was the lone wolf would not have anything go against it.
So what's the conspiracy here? That the second person was who?
I think the larger conspiracy is that it was... I think that what you kind of coalesce back to is that either the federal government knew, because they knew about McVay. They knew about McVay. He was already on the radar. They knew about all the people in Elohim City, which was this white power community in Arkansas. And they let it get away, kind of like what some people think about the Boston bombing. Or two,
Through incompetence, or having a different reason. Or having a different agenda for letting it happen.
That, what I was saying, was incompetence. The other thing is that they were in on it and knew about it, and just, it wasn't incompetence, right? Like,
so what would be the reason there? Because like 9/11, they kind of, you know, they knew about that all too, and of course the reward there was going to war.
The same reason they bulldozed and killed 75 innocent American citizens in Waco. These federal law enforcement agencies needed to justify the budget. Now, I'm not saying I think that the federal government was in on it, and it seemed like...
The federal government
knew about Timothy McVay.
Sure, so, just like they knew about 9/11, just like they...
They knew about the Sarnoff brothers in Boston, yeah. You know. I think that...
Pearl Harbor, they knew about it.
They kind of just, maybe, I think people think they just kind of let it get away from them.
Okay.
But he was definitely, you know, John Doe 2 was mentioned by everyone. John Doe 2 became very famous. But the FBI bullied everyone that saw John Doe 2 into not testifying.
Just to, like, avoid mass chaos? Because freaking out about it, or what?
The federal government decided really quick what their prosecution was going to be. And it was going to be lone wolf terrorism. He did it by himself. He had slight help from Terry Nichols and Michael Fortier, but neither one of them were there. Nichols is serving life in prison, but he helped build the bomb. Fortier got out after 12 years. Basically, he only had help from these two dudes that were in his army unit. They weren't there. It was a one-man show. If you saw him with another person, you didn't. It was just him. So they killed all the witnesses. They killed all the evidence that placed him at the scene of the crime the day of the bomb, because they wouldn't let the tapes be shown. Now, there was no reason not to show the tapes unless there was another person with him.
Yeah, because I mean, the tapes wouldn't have anything graphic or gruesome on it, right?
It would just show him driving up and parking the rider
truck. Right.
You know, there's a lot of weird things about it, man. Everyone knows about everyone in the conspiracy channel knows about the black security guard that killed himself a couple years later, even though like he would never have killed. He was like this awesome person that everyone loved. He was an amazing dude, and they found him like in the middle of a field dead. Like he had been, you know, like there's a
what
lot
did they
of
say he did to himself?
Oh, I can't remember how they say it. I think shot himself. CNN even wrote a story about him a couple years ago. It kind of got renewed interest a couple years ago because some CNN writer wrote a story about like all the weird things surrounding this guy that like he definitely did not kill himself. He was not the type of guy to kill himself. I can't remember. I don't know his name, but I'm pretty deep in that. So I can't devote time to
aliens. We ain't got time for that shit.
Don Lemon. We need to get Don Lemon back on the case, though. We need to get back him on MH370.
I saw it. I saw the Instagram video. I saw an article written about it today. So I was curious if you had any thoughts on that guy. I need to get with Brother Logie and ask what he thinks. He sent me a podcast from November of 2023. I just haven't got a chance to listen to it yet.
Jordan Beck just hit his first home run in the major leagues.
Hey, shout out to Jordan Beck. Any final thoughts? I got to wrap this bad boy up.
Nope. I love you. It was good to see you. I will be
good
at regionals.
Good to see you. Hair's looking great on the video, by the way.
Thank you. I'll be at regionals with Brother Chris Kilby.
Okay.
So I'll see you
there.
So
you do not need my tickets.
I do not. He got two tickets from the people that sit beside his parents and asked me if I'd like to go with him.
Well, keep that same energy for super regionals. Don't come calling and crying to Papa during super regionals. You remember who you chose. You chose Chris Kilby over me.
I don't know if I'll have these for regionals.
Then you should have thought about that, buddy. Not a very good chess move by you.
We'll discuss this offline.
Enjoy it with Ned. Maybe Ned will come through for you. Maybe Kilby will come through for you. My super regional tickets are off the table.
We'll discuss this offline.
Love you. Talk to you soon.
I love you too. Bye-bye, buddy.
Tony Coles.
Ever had to step on the nigga, he was your op and you was just standing on business.
Yeah.
Ever had to ride through the blocks and the windows while clutching the glizzy.
Yeah.
Wasn't we fighting off niggas for throwing up blood and we crimping?
Yeah.
Feeling like Santa with bags and smoke in the air that we dancing. Yeah. See an op and we bang on them. Throw up the set, get to talking too much, then we spinning on shit, tornadoes. Taliban shit really double TG. We on go like Diego. 15 niggas with 600 packs in there whooping this bitch like Django.
See, we really been having this shit for a long time now, and I'm loving the difference. I be missing the streets, thugging daily when he trying to see how to set up a mission. Remember punching on niggas to get my respect. You can ask Lil Ro, he a witness. I done earned on my stripes, spend the night after night. Now I tell them to go and they blitz. Take it back to the very beginning when niggas was roaming the house trying to hide to the bell. Linked up with Ro, we been giving them hell. Every time that we drop that shit like show and tell. If she let me fuck, then she stuck like a spell. 30K on this Raleigh for towns and them cells. 60K on my neck, this shit wet like a whale. Niggas broke, I just spent that year rent on my bed.
Now we really the way. Remember back in the day at the track, me really playing knockout. Got banned from the field just for whooping on tip from the hills. Had them bringing the cops out. Never played in a band, but we rock out. Really balling on niggas, had to box out. Way since the beginning, me and my niggas was spinning from sun up to sundown. Ever had to step on the nigga, he was your op and you was just standing on business.
Yeah.
Ever had to ride through the blocks in the windows while clutching the glizzy.
Yeah.
Wasn't we fighting off niggas for throwing up blood and we crimping?
Yeah.
Feeling like Santa with bags and smoke in the air that we blitzing. Ever had to step on the nigga, he was your op and you was just standing on business.
Yeah.
Ever had to ride through the blocks in the windows while clutching the glizzy.
Yeah.
Wasn't we fighting off niggas for throwing up blood and we crimping?
Yeah.
Feeling like Santa with bags and smoke in the air that we blitzing.
Yeah.